I had a really bad stutter, and I was bullied for it. I was teased for it. They're writing to inspire someone to take action. Like, that is the goal of copywriting. Yes. Self-censorship is when you are intentionally stifling your own message. And there can be a few different reasons behind that. And I think that's also a perfect example of doing the task that will have the largest compound effect versus doing a bunch of little things.
Welcome to What If It All Works Out. My name is Sophie Callahan, and I started this podcast because I wanted to empower women to show up confidently and consistently online as themselves by sharing stories and examples of what things look like when they all work out. My career began in photography, and I am now a marketing and mindset coach for female entrepreneurs and the mum to two little girls. I teach you everything that I learned over 10 years in my business about content marketing and building the life of my dreams so that you can do the same. My guests here have inspiring stories to tell, knowledge for us to learn from, and really valuable experiences to share with us. So grab a cup of tea and get ready for conversations that will change your mindset, your business, and the way you show up in your life. This episode is so packed with actionable takeaways that you are absolutely going to love. I'm genuinely so excited for you to listen to this one. Val Casola is a copywriter who helps her clients use their words to build connection with their audience, tell effective transformation stories, and create websites that move their readers and inspire them to buy. Val has a bachelor's degree in writing, a master's degree in writing studies, and 6 years professional experience in marketing and social media. So she certainly knows a thing or two about writing high converting copy. And when you dive into this episode and listen to all the tips and advice she shares, I know you'll be so grateful for her expertise and her generosity in sharing all of her hard-earned knowledge. We talk about website copy, of course. We talk about getting out of your own way, about really listening to your ideal client, about taking action even when you're afraid to do so. And we also cover the topic of running a successful giveaway to grow your audience and so much more. Make sure you've got a pen and paper handy for this one. You're going to need it. Here's copywriting expert Val Casola. Hello, Val. Nice to see you. Welcome to What If It All Works Out.
Hi, Sophie. Thank you so much for having me. I love the name of this podcast.
Thank you. That was chosen by my Instagram followers. I polled them, and this was their favorite by an absolute mile. So yeah, I love it. So can we start by talking a little bit about how you got into copywriting, how you got to do the job that you do now, where you've come from, your experience and background and that kind of thing? Can you just kind of give my audience a little bit of a rundown of why you do what you do?
Yeah, so I'll take it all the way to the beginning.
Perfect.
When I was a young girl, maybe like 5 or 6, I had a really bad stutter. And I was bullied for it. I was teased for it. And it kind of made me like really shy around new people and really shy to try new things. And I remember sitting one day at recess and my teacher came up to me because I was sitting by myself, and she brought me this blank book. And she said, "Why don't we just try to write a story together?" And I had never really done anything like that before, but I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And so I started to write a story about a cat and her family, and it ended up turning into a series. And I ended up writing 12 books for our little class library. And the goal of the library was for, you know, all the students to go and like check out a book and like read it during the designated like reading time. And so I contributed 12 books to the library, and they ended up being the most like checked out from all the students. So I took, that teacher saw a lot in me, and she took an opportunity to like make sure I was comfortable and introduce me to something new. And that's kind of where the writing bug had bitten me.
I love that.
I fell so much in love with it. So I wrote eventually about things like my family and like other things like that. So that's how I started writing. And I kind of knew from that moment on, I wanted to do something in the writing field. I just didn't know what it would be. So I went through high school, took some writing classes here and there. And when I went to college, I realized that the university I had chosen had a full-fledged writing program. I didn't really like go into it looking for that. I was actually entering university as a political science major.
Oh, quite different.
Yes, quite different. And then I took a creative writing elective, fell in love with it, and realized there was a whole major that I could study. So I studied writing, and I took classes in things like rhetoric, argumentation, style, poetry, fiction, nonfiction, writing for the web.
Wow.
And then after I graduated university, I went on to secondary education, and I got my master's degree in writing studies, where I did a another like half professional, half creative program, where I learned how to write a screenplay. I learned how to write grants for nonprofits. I took some more classes in like rhetoric and argumentation. I took a class all about the young adult novel.
Oh my gosh.
And I was really exposed to all these different kinds of writing. And after that, I got my first job in fundraising. So I worked for a nonprofit and I helped fundraise almost $500,000 while I was there. And
Oh.
then after that job, I moved on to a role in social media. So I was working for a professional development company and I was helping manage their social media channels on a big team. And I realized that I wanted something that allowed me to be more creative and kind of go
Yeah.
back to the draw of fiction and poetry that originally interested me. And I started to write food blogs for food bloggers on Instagram. And the goal of that was
Niche.
to just get me a little bit of extra cash, start paying off some more of my student loans. And but then when I was doing that, I realized that there were other deliverables that copywriters were providing that they were charging 3, 4, 5 figures for. And I realized like, wow, I could do that. So I dived into
Yeah.
this world of copywriting. You know, here I am, you know, running my own business and working with clients that have like a transformational offering to help someone like leave someone's life better than when they found it. But
I
yeah, now
love
I'm
that.
writing things like websites, sales pages, and emails for like service-based businesses.
That's so cool. So your story really does go right back to when you were a child and a passion that kind of you stumbled across, I guess, which is, you know, such a lovely story of origin for you. So you teach businesses how to write their transformation story, right? Can you talk to us about that? What's if somebody is offering a transformation of some sort to their clients, how what's the best way to get that across in their copy?
Yeah, so I think something people often forget when they're writing copy is that they're writing to inspire someone to take action. Like that is the goal of
Yes.
copywriting, is to inspire someone to either book your services or schedule a discovery call or sign up for, you know, this free resource or this paid resource. And people forget that as humans, we all act in our own self-interest and that can manifest in good ways and bad ways throughout life. But in terms of like business, we have to remember that what we're offering is to improve someone's life, and no one's going to buy it if they can't see that benefit to them. So a
Yes.
central question that I always suggest people start when they're getting to the root of that transformation story is to ask yourself, well, what's in it for my client? Like, what are they going
Yeah.
to get out of this experience that is going to make them curious about earning more and then going to their purse or grabbing their wallet from the junk drawer or, you know, wherever you keep it, pulling out that credit card, typing in their details and, you know,
Yes.
handing over their hard-earned money to you. So first, you have to get to the heart of the transformation, which is what's in it for your client.
Yes.
Once you can identify that, I recommend you work backwards. So after you get the transformation down, what's in it for your client, I want you to think to yourself, what is my client currently going through now? What is their current state? What is this person struggling with? What are they really desiring? Why aren't they not able to achieve that desire on their own? What's holding them back? Is it something that they can control? Is it something that they can't? And once you brainstorm on that, let's jump forward. And what does this person's life look like as a result of my services?
Yes.
And when we have those three elements, we can put them like in chronological order, and we have the outline of our transformation story. And then we take that outline and we tell it across our homepage, our about page, our services page, and even our contact page and our portfolio pages if you're writing your website. And
I love
all
that.
those pages together, operating off that outline, are going to help tell a story that is seamless for your customer experience, and it's going to end in a way that inspires someone to take action.
That's wonderful. That's so useful. So helpful. And that goes into your content then, doesn't it? When you're posting on social media and everything like that, that becomes your kind of signature story, I guess. Is that what you would advise? And do you have more than would you have one, more than one signature story? Would you kind of pinpoint a moment in your life where you have seen a transformation, and you're kind of reflecting your audience in your story? Am I along the right lines there?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I would stick to one signature
Okay.
story, especially if you're serving one ICA or ideal
Yeah.
client avatar, whatever you call it. And you should really be asking yourself, like, what do I want to be known for? And what about
Yes.
my story can contribute to what you want to be known for? So, for example, if you want to be known for providing a stellar client experience, well, what about your own story, like, brought you to want to be known for that? Like, do you have experience in like providing experiences of different kinds throughout your life to different kinds of people? And why was that important to you? So focusing on that part of your story and bringing it back to what you want to be known for is going to help you create the story that helps
Yeah.
people notice you as that thing.
Yeah, and they can identify themselves in that. That's amazing. Really, really interesting and valuable questions to ask, I think. And a lot of my clients come to me when I work with a lot of people who are at the very, very beginning of their journey in business, but I also work with a lot of people who have been out there for a little while. They might be a little bit muddled. Their messaging is a bit off. They're not getting the clients that they want. So how would you advise that they kind of go through their own content, their website and everything, and kind of audit that. That's something that you offer, right?
Yes, I do offer copy audits, and that is where we sit down together for an hour, and I will take a look at whatever copy you have, and give my expert advice. And
Mm-hmm.
often, what I see is clients will they'll ask me, why is this message not resonating with the people I want it
Yeah.
to? And then my question to them is, well, what will resonate with those people? Like, do you know
Yeah.
what they are looking for? And sometimes the answer is, I think so. Like, this
Yeah.
is what I think. And then sometimes the answer is, no, I've never actually taken the time to go out and listen to the person that I want to serve. And so I think the number one suggestion that I could give, if your message isn't resonating and you're kind of wanting to do a self audit, is ask yourself, am I listening to the person that I want to serve? Do I know in their own words what they are struggling with? Do I know what words they're using to describe what they want? Do I know in
So
their own
good.
words what's holding them back? And when you can get this data, and like I would compile this data, keep it organized, go to places where your dream client is hanging out, whether that's a Facebook group or an online message board or the Instagram comments of a much larger competitor in your field. Just go and eavesdrop and see what these people you want to serve, see what they're saying. Or you could also directly go to them if you know people who fit your ICA, or you have connections through your community, and you can ask them directly those questions. But once you get the data to that, keep it organized and go through it and see if there's any words or phrases that jump out to you that you could use in your own messaging.
Yes,
And
I love that. That's so good. So
Yeah,
good.
that is going to help when people can see their own thoughts and worries and desires and fears like represented on the page, it's going to make them a lot more comfortable, and it's going to show them that you know what they're going through, and it's going to build that like no trust factor, and it's going to encourage them to keep reading and keep learning about everything you have to offer.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you've said, and I feel like I'm gonna use these questions and go through my own copy and have a look and see if I'm hitting the marks. This is really good. And I think a lot of people doubt themselves as a writer. I feel like there's a lot of business owners who they're very good at their job, they're very good at what they do, they're very confident, but they're not confident in their writing ability. What would be your advice to those people? Because you don't have to have a master's in writing to get your messaging right. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I would say to just take a deep breath and remind yourself that people need to hear what you have to say. If you have a genuine solution to help people who struggle with an actual problem that you have experience with, or you've experienced that problem yourself and you've come up with a solution to address it, there's people out there who need to hear from you. And just reminding yourself of that is it can be like a really important mindset shift to remind you that what you have to say is important, and that there are people out there who want to hear it, and there are people out there who will benefit from it. So if you're afraid, just remember the impact that you want to make. And
Absolutely.
if you're concerned you're not going to be able to, deliver the message the right way, invest in a professional or just take your time. Copy is something that's fluid. It doesn't have to be right the first time. It's always going to change, especially as you grow and your business grows, and you'll need to revisit it anyway. So just don't be afraid to get things wrong and just make adjustments as you go forward and as you learn.
Yes, I agree with that as well. It's all an experiment, isn't it? It's like one big science experiment, this creating content. And whilst it helps to have somebody who does have those qualifications on your side, it's a bit similar to the way I deal with photographing for commercial clients, in that we can do so much for them in a professional capacity, but they're going to have to go out there and do some of it by themselves. And having that confidence to, as I've said to some of my clients, show up scrappy, like show up and with the very first draft, and be prepared to be embarrassed by that later on when you look back. I think that's so important to give people that confidence to do that. Thank you that for giving them permission to go and do it, and have a first draft and make mistakes. So if you were to look at somebody's about page, what makes a good about page? Because there's a lot of talk in kind of marketing about having a good about me page, and I think so many people miss the mark with it and don't really know what they're supposed to have on it. So do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, so the biggest misconception about writing your about page, and when I say this, you're going to be like, what? But trust me here. The biggest misconception about your about page is that it's about you. Yes, your about page is about you. The content of the page is about you, but you're not writing it to celebrate your achievements. You're not writing it to celebrate your expertise. You're writing it to make your reader trust you and increase that like, know, and trust factor. And your about page is really supposed to answer, I think, four or five key questions. What problem are you trying to solve? How do you do it differently? What makes you qualified to solve this problem? Who are you as a person? And why should I hire you? And I think when you focus on those five questions and when you're writing about yourself, you're constantly asking that question I mentioned earlier in the episode. What's in it for them? Like, what does this have to do with the transformation I'm offering someone? When you can remind yourself that you need to tie it back to that question in everything you write, you're going to have a much more effective about page than simply like copy and pasting your resume onto the page and letting that stand as is.
Wonderful. And what I'm hearing from that is something that aligns really, really well with everything that I try and teach my clients, is that it all comes back to knowing who your target audience is and who your ideal customer is, doesn't it? And everything we do and everything we put out online has to be in line with the people that we are trying to communicate with and the absolute dream customer that we want to attract. And I think, with our about page, we want to find those commonalities. And I always use an analogy where if your client had two websites open and both people did exactly the same thing, had exactly the same prices, your about page is what would make them choose you over the other person. And I think everything you've said there really lines up nicely with that. So, am I right in thinking you have a resource for people about their about page? How many times can we say about in one episode? Tell us about that, Val.
Yeah, so I have a free about page guide that will walk you through the components that I have found make up the most effective about pages. And the first half are what I call the non-negotiables, things that every about page should have. And then the second half includes more of those fun things that you see, like those pub style quizzes, those rapid fire fun fact rounds, and things like that, the this or that games.
Yeah.
And it really helps you figure out which elements you need on your about page. It gives some suggestions on how to get started with copy for those. And it also, I give you a suggestion for the order to put them in, so
Brilliant.
your about page is functioning as effectively as possible. So I offer that for free to anyone who would like to grab it. And I
Amazing.
provided the link to you, Sophie, so I'm sure it'll be in the show notes.
Yep, absolutely. I'll put it on all the show notes. And anyone listening or watching can go and grab that from Val once you've finished listening to this episode. So that's super helpful. Thank you so much. So I also wanted to talk about, I read a blog post of yours actually that was really, really interesting about self-censorship. And it's something that, especially with women in business, seems to be such a huge problem. And when I read your blog post, I knew that we had to talk about this because I think it's something that will really resonate with so many people. So can we talk about what self-censorship is, why it's such a big problem, and how we can overcome that?
Yeah, so self-censorship is when you are intentionally stifling your own message. And there can be a few different reasons behind that, but I think the biggest one is that we're just not confident in it, or we're afraid to get it wrong. And I know how it feels being a writer to have this idea in my head that, feels so good. I can't believe I thought of that. Like, wow, it's so unique, it's so creative, like it means so much to me. And then to sit down and realize, like, I have no idea how to get this out of my head and put it on the page. And there's this fear of doing it an injustice because we might not know how to articulate it, or this fear of having that message be misunderstood by others. And, in turn, we're misunderstood ourselves. So I think that this fear of being misunderstood, or this fear of not getting that message just right, can hold business owners back from stepping into their full potential and creating the messaging that really resonates not only with their readers, but it resonates with them. And yes, you will hear me say over and over again that your copy is for your readers and it's for your dream clients, but you also need to be able to feel confident in your messaging to get out there and show up and sell. So this issue of self-censorship is when you are intentionally stifling that message, and it holds you back in so many ways in your business. It holds back your ability to show up consistently. It holds you back in your productivity because you're constantly worried about it and doing
Yeah.
tasks that you might be procrastinating on working on it. It holds back your efficiency because your business tools, like your website, and they're not operating as effectively as they can. And it holds you back creatively and professionally because it makes it harder to achieve your goals when you're not all in on something like that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and so how can we overcome this? What steps do we take? Because it's perfectionism, I guess, isn't it? It's waiting until we feel that something is perfect before getting it out there, which obviously we're just going to be waiting for forever. It's never going to happen. So how can we overcome this and kind of just, show up as we are, with something that is imperfect but is going to get the job done?
Yeah, I think we have to remind ourselves that, again, like as we said earlier in the episode, it's okay
Yeah.
to make mistakes. And The only person who's really going to know if we made a mistake in our messaging is us.
Yes.
Because no one has the intel on the inside to know exactly what we meant. Nobody has
Yes.
the, no one's going to judge us like we judge ourselves or critique us like we critique ourselves. And so just reminding ourselves that it doesn't have to be perfect. It's okay to take messy action and it's okay to see what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, the only way you can move forward and figure out what works is to realize something doesn't work.
Yes,
So
messy
to
action. I love that.
embrace that mindset and just say it doesn't have to be perfect and I can go back and fix this is one really great way to overcome that feeling of perfectionism and stop yourself from censoring yourself. And
Brilliant.
another way that is more like a tangible tip that you can actually go and do, this is the tip that I actually learned from a professor when I was in grad school. So she recommended that we go home when we work on this assignment, we grab a
We grab
pillowcase,
a pillowcase.
and we put it on top of our monitor. And we set a timer for like 15 or 20 minutes, and we just write and we brain dump everything, every word that we're thinking, and we just get it on the page without looking at it. Because when we look at it, we have that urge to go back and like self-edit, like, oh, I didn't mean to write that. Let me go back and change
Brilliant.
that. And then we get so focused on changing what we already wrote that we're not moving forward. So if you cover your monitor, wear a blindfold, like whatever it is you have to do, whatever makes you more comfortable, and you just dump it all out, and then you get up and you go for a walk, or you eat lunch or dinner, you call a friend, and you come back with a fresh perspective, you're going to get a lot more out of that time you sat down to write and find new connections on the page that you didn't like think of in your brain. And it's going to make your copy a lot more effective and your messaging a lot more effective and your work session like a lot more effective. You'll get a lot more done.
That's such a fun exercise. I challenge everybody to go and do that with your next piece of content. If you're writing a blog post, if you're writing short form content, go and do it with a pillowcase on your monitor and come back and tell Val and I how it went. That's brilliant. I love that. That's really fun. Thank you. So, lots of people will have seen that they might recognize your name because I recently ran a giveaway with you. Well, you ran the giveaway. I was part of the giveaway. It was called the Grow Your Business Giveaway. And we had, was it eight in the end? Eight entrepreneurs
Eight.
offering free resources. And it went really, really well. It was a pleasure to be part of. And I wanted to talk to you about how it went, how you felt it went, and how you would advise to run a giveaway because it's something that I know a lot of people are interested in doing to grow their following and grow their audience. And you did such a great job that I wanted to pick your brains about it, if that's okay.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed the giveaway. I think it was a huge success in that it got a lot of free guidance into the hands of business owners to help them move the needle forward. And something very important to me and my business is just to be able to serve others. And, you know, if you're not ready to invest in a copy project, it doesn't mean you can't come and talk to me. Like, I would love to point you in the direction of something that can help you where you are now so you can grow to the point where you are creating that life that you set out to because when you started this business in the first place. So it was a really good opportunity to like serve others, but it was also a really good opportunity to network and meet a lot of new business owners and interact with some industries that typically, you know, I don't have a lot of like close touch with. So it was really fun in that aspect and getting to know new business owners and learn about them and learn about their processes and just how they run their business. And yeah, so this giveaway was something that I saw this modeled by my mentor, one of my mentors, in 2022, and I watched her just put it together and handle it with like so much confidence and grace and, you know, confidence in her ability to like serve others. And I knew that I wanted to replicate the same. And I just tried to remind myself that there's no adventure that is too big for me. There is no
Love
business
that.
venture that I could make myself a part of that I wouldn't be a good fit for because I'm too small or not established enough or nobody's going to want to hear from me. As long as I'm willing to put in the work to make something happen, I can achieve anything. And But this giveaway was like kind of a reflection of that. I have never done something like that before, but I trusted myself. I trusted my ability to make connections, and I trusted the people I made connections with. And we just all worked together and really had a ton of
Yeah.
fun and participated in this event and saw a lot of growth in our businesses as well.
And it went amazingly. And I would never have known you hadn't done something like that. And you did absolutely do what you set out to do. So talk to me, well, talk to the listeners about how it worked, because I know how it worked because I was involved. So, but how, what was the format and why did that work so well? Can
Yeah,
you?
so this was a giveaway where we, as giveaway hosts, like each business owner who participated, offered a free resource that was either something that was exclusive, had never been offered before, or something that was typically paid, just as a way to give back to all different kinds of communities, and network in that way. And so the giveaway, we did a whole bunch of marketing promotion for it. We did email sequences, we did social media campaigns on stories, we did Instagram feed posts, and it all led to this landing page where someone could go and view each resource and learn a little bit about the business owner who provided it and what the resource was about. And the person on the landing page could opt in to whatever resource they wanted. So it wasn't a bundle where you signed up and received everything. I really wanted to give people the option to consent to receive resources from experts and then also correspondence from experts following that based on what they needed in their business. I have always disliked when I've had to hand over my personal information to people I didn't want to hear from
Yeah.
or people whose expertise I really didn't need. So I wanted to make sure people were given the opportunity to consent to what they were receiving. And then it was also useful on the business owner end as well, because then we weren't getting people on our email lists who didn't want to hear from us either. So
Yeah,
the
I think
whole
that's what made it
giveaway,
work so well. That was so good. Such a good idea.
the whole giveaway operated from this place of, if you're ready for this, if you're looking for this, I'm here. If you don't
Yeah.
need this, that's okay, and have a great day. Like, it's no
Yeah,
big
we
deal.
wish you well.
Yeah.
We can still be friends. Yeah, it was great. And I think Val is not tooting her own horn enough here, because I think one of the things that worked really well from my point of view was the fact that you sent over all the resources. So you sent over all of the email templates, you sent over all of the social media templates that we could use, the post, the story post, everything. And it just made being a part of it so easy, and just, a no-brainer for a business to enter into. And I think if people are looking to host giveaways with, and collaborations with other businesses, it doesn't matter what niche they're in. It was just such a great model for people to follow, which is why I wanted to bring it up on this podcast, because you made it so easy for everybody. And that's, I think, why it worked so well.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to apply that same idea of serving others to the people I was collaborating with as well. And if someone asks you to enter a giveaway and then you have to create all the marketing yourself, or maybe copywriting or email marketing or Canva graphic design. I'm not saying like I'm an expert at all of those things other than copywriting. But I didn't want anyone to feel overwhelmed. And I wanted them to be able to participate and grow their audience and also serve new audiences the easiest way possible. So I felt like it was very professional to extend the courtesy of preparing everything that they would need in exchange for their time and their audience and their expertise. So it was just my way of giving back to everyone as well.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was great for all the people signing up to the freebies, and it worked really well for all the businesses involved. So, yeah, I think a really, really great example of how to run a giveaway. I want to know what your biggest struggle in business has been, from the very beginning, the thing that you've really kind of had to overcome to get to where you are today.
So I think my biggest struggle has been transitioning the mindset of success from working in the corporate world to becoming an entrepreneur. As I mentioned, I have had experience in the corporate world, and I found a lot of success from getting my to-do list done and fitting as much into the day as humanly possible. So my to-do list would just be smaller. even though the next day my boss would add new items to it. But I measured success by my ability to get a lot of things done.
By your
And
productivity.
yes. And in entrepreneurial space, it's been a challenge for me to realize that I can do less things that are more impactful, and that will be more effective for my business rather than completing a million different things that have, maybe not as much direction or are clearly procrastinating items from, really putting a lot of brain power behind new things or learning new skills or just trying something new. So for me, it's been tough to adjust my mindset from I don't need to do as much as possible, but I need to just think effectively and think smart and put my time and effort towards those things that will move the needle for my business and get me in front of new people and help me show my expertise, rather than just like feeling like I did a lot of work today.
That's a really, really good lesson to learn. And actually, it's a completely different situation, but a lot of my audience are mums who have run businesses as on whilst raising children. And for me, I think that was actually I learned when I had kids. When I was working on my business full time, and that was all I had to do. I would have a huge to-do list and I would want to tick it all off. And when I first had children, I found that I was feeling like I hadn't had a successful day because I hadn't ticked off everything on my to-do list. And it did become about working out what was a real priority. And I think is it Mel Robbins, I think, says about having important and urgent or something like that, and working out what is urgent and what is actually important, and ticking off the important things rather than just the urgent things. And I think that's a definitely a real lesson when you are self-employed. You have to work out what is going to move the needle, what actually needs your attention. So I think you're not alone there. That's a really good one. I wanted to know what your career highlight has been. So you've gone from your biggest struggle. What's your been your biggest high?
I think my biggest high is making the decision to work in a different way that fits my lifestyle better. So I could have absolutely stayed in corporate America and climbed the ladder and ended up in a manager position and, maybe even gone before that, and worked my tail off, which, is something that I'm willing to do, but I wasn't willing to sacrifice the time and the flexibility to live the life I truly wanted to live. Because, for example, like Sophie, I know that you're a mom. I'm not a mom yet, but I would like to be a mom in 5 years or so. And I want to make sure that I'm going to be able to be a part of my child's life and not be
Absolutely.
working 24/7, for someone else. So I think my career highlight is not being afraid to make the decision that I needed to make for me. And even though I did it afraid, I still took the leap, and that's what's most important.
Yeah, a really good example of what happens if it all works out.
Yes.
And what has been your win of the week this week specifically?
So my win of the week has to do with that giveaway. I quadrupled my email list from that giveaway.
Wow.
And I think that's also a perfect example of doing the task that will have the largest compound effect versus doing a bunch of little things and feeling like I got a lot done. That
Yeah.
giveaway, I put a lot of effort into the marketing materials and then, making sure everyone who was participating felt prepared and confident to go out and market it to their audiences. And then I just interacted with my audience as normal. And then over the course of 1 week, where the giveaway ran, I quadrupled my email list,
Amazing.
doing a lot less work than I could have ever imagined. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And well deserved, I have to say.
thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That was really, really insightful. And I feel like there's so much in there. Because not only do you have a really interesting business story, but you also have given us so much value and so many really useful, tangible takeaways there that people can go and apply to their own businesses. And if they then need more help, they do a self audit and they realize they're in more of a muddle than they thought and they're in the position to hire help. How can people work with you? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website. It's www.valcasola.com. You can find me on Instagram at Valcasola, right? And I offer website copywriting services, sales page copywriting services, and email copywriting services. So if you're in the middle of a rebrand and you need copy and you need messaging to, support the beautiful design that you're getting, if you are evaluating your own messaging and you're realizing that, it's not resonating and you don't know how to fix it, I can help with that. If you're launching a new course or a program and you need a sales page that's going to be selling for you 24/7 so you can step out and take care of the things you need to do or just live your life, I can write that for you. And then if you are bringing a lot of new people into your community via a freebie or a lead magnet and you're looking for a welcome sequence to nurture them into your community, and to let them know what to expect, or you're looking for a sales sequence for a launch or an evergreen sequence for an evergreen product, I can certainly help with email for that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. There's so much there. And yeah, I think people were going to really enjoy this. And I hope they all go out and have a look at their websites and their messaging and everything and kind of rework everything based on your advice. Thanks so much, Val. It was so lovely to speak to you. And I'm really excited to share you with my audience.
Well, thank you
I
for
will,
having me.
you are very welcome. Amazing. I know that you have got a ton of homework to go away and do on your copy right now because I know I have too. Isn't she just fab? There were so many takeaways in there that we can all go away and implement to change the way that we communicate our offers to our clients. Val mostly works with course creators and service providers, but I think you'll agree that the strategies she shared in today's episode can be tailored to suit almost any business. No matter what industry you are in, getting your messaging and communication right is fundamental to making easy sales. Don't forget to go and grab Val's free about page guide too. Let people know who it is they're buying from on your website. Let them know who the beating heart behind your business is and who their money is going to. Your audience want to see that. And it's one way that we can stand out, even in a saturated market against huge name competitors. So go and grab that from the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of What If It All Works Out. Until